Welcome to the Deep Dive, the knowledge shortcut you need to master a mountain of sources quickly. Today we are opening a really fascinating window into internet history, the server log. Before all the modern, JavaScript-heavy tracking became the norm, all the intelligence about who was visiting your site and how well, it was hidden right there in these cryptic files. We are diving deep into the technology that helped make sense of it all. Now, if you're new to web operations, maybe think of a server log like this. It's the quiet, meticulous security guard who writes down every single interaction at the door, every request, every failure, every successful handshake. It's dense, raw data, but it's full of gold. Before we unlock this data, though, we want to thank the supporter of this deep dive, SafeServer. They specialize in hosting software, helping you manage tools just like the one we are discussing today, and supporting your digital transformation. You can find more information at www.safeserver.de.
Okay, so our mission today is really to unpack AWS Stats. That stands for Advanced Web Statistics. This tool is, well, it's foundational because it was free, powerful, and it genuinely made web analytics accessible, even for beginners back then. It's the thing that took that raw, pretty technical server data and turned it into graphical, actionable intelligence. Fundamentally, AWS Stats is a powerful log analyzer. It was distributed under the GNU General Public License, the GPL, and that license detail is actually key because it means the software was always free, always community-driven. It didn't just analyze web servers either. It could generate advanced stats for streaming services, FTP, even mail servers, and deliver all that rich data visually.
Right. So let's start with the basics, maybe for those who haven't actually touched a server log before. If the log is just this massive text file of transactions, how did AWS Stats work its magic? Like, what is a log file analyzer, practically speaking?
Think of it as a translator. Log data is messy, right? Timestamps, IP addresses, requested files, status codes. It's almost impossible to read manually and get any real insight. AWS Stats takes that whole stream and, in its own words, transforms it into understandable reports using few graphical web pages.
Yeah.
Basically, it turns lines of code into bar charts and pie graphs, makes it visual.
And what's fascinating here, reading through the sources, is just how compatible it was. This wasn't some niche script just for certain platforms, was it?
Not at all. It was, you could say, an equal opportunity analyzer. It could handle logs from pretty much every major server tool available at the time. We're talking Apache logs, the NCSA combined or common formats, ISA logs using the W3C format WebStar, plus logs from specialized proxy, WAP, and streaming servers. That kind of breadth, that compatibility, it's really a hallmark of truly foundational software.
And how did this, relatively small free tool handle all the heavy lifting? Running a log analyzer on big servers sounds like it could be pretty intensive.
Yeah, that's where some clever engineering comes in.
AWS Stats was designed to be lightweight and flexible. It was primarily written in Perl, which, okay, itself requires Perl 5.000003 or higher for the more modern versions. And you could run it right from the command line, or you could execute it dynamically as a CGI script. That flexibility was key.
Hold on. If it's running off a lightweight language like Perl, how did it possibly manage enterprise-scale log files? I mean, we could be talking about logs of practically unlimited size on busy servers. Wouldn't that just grind the system to a halt?
That's an excellent point, and it really hits on the core challenge of early log analysis. To process these potentially massive log files quickly and often, it uses something called a partial information file. So instead of recalculating every single metric from the raw log every single time, which would take hours, it stores intermediate data in that partial file. This means subsequent runs are incredibly fast. It saves a ton of server resources. Ah, okay. So it sort of pre-digested the information, making the updates almost instantaneous, even if the raw log file kept getting bigger and bigger. Mm. That's pretty clever resource management.
Precisely. And that efficiency was absolutely crucial because it meant it could handle logs that were split across multiple files or even logs that weren't perfectly sorted, which, believe me, was a common headache when you're dealing with large load balanced systems. And for the newcomer, the setup was famously simple. The documentation literally said just one configuration file to edit. That low barrier to entry for something so powerful, that's a big reason why it became so popular globally.
That simplicity is remarkable. But here's where the data gets really juicy, I think. Most people might think of server logs as just basic traffic counters, mm-hmm. page views, maybe hits. But AWS Stats extracted this surprising level of detail that, well, even modern tag-based analytics sometimes overlooks. Let's get into the specifics of what this tool was revealing.
Okay, so if we start with traffic and timing, it definitely gave you the essentials. Number of visits, unique visitors, average visit duration, standard stuff. but it synthesized this data to provide genuine business intelligence. It showed your site's rush hours and rush days. It detailed pages, hits, kilobytes transferred for each hour of the day or each day of the week.
That tells you exactly when to schedule server maintenance, right? Or maybe when to launch your most important content. It shifts you from just counting things to actually planning.
Exactly. But the granularity, it deepens significantly when we look at visitor identity and technology. This is where AW Stats really, really shined in that fragmented early internet era. Using GeoIP detection, it could automatically identify 269 domains and countries. And maybe more importantly for web developers back then, it identified the technical stack of the visitor. We're talking detecting 35 different operating systems and a core of 97 different browsers.
97 browsers, wow. That sounds like a testing nightmare for developers.
It was a fragmentation nightmare, which is exactly why this tool was so critical. Just the ability to automatically identify that fragmentation, that was power. And furthermore, if you use the specific browser library it offered, that number jumped to over 450 detected browsers, including various phone and mobile clients. That level of detail, it's something modern analytics often just aggregates away, you know?
That kind of specificity must have been absolutely vital for making decisions about feature support, especially back in the early 2000s when tech wasn't nearly as standardized as it is now.
Absolutely. And that brings us neatly to the technical insights. This is maybe the key insight for understanding historical web development challenges. AW Stats could report the ratio of visitors whose browsers supported critical, often non-standard features like Java, Flash, RealG2, QuickTime, WMA, even PDF readers. Knowing this dictated huge development decisions. I mean, if only 10% of your audience supported Flash, you knew building your main navigation in Flash would basically kill your traffic. This wasn't just a nice-to-have feature. This was like a fundamental operational requirement. It told developers whether their audience could even consume the content they just spent weeks building.
That's a fascinating look at the historical constraints of the web. Mm-hmm. Really puts things in perspective. Moving beyond technical capabilities, what did AW Stats tell us about why people found the site in the first place?
Right.
The marketing side.
Right. That falls under marketing and search insights. Because the log file records the referrer, basically, where the visitor came from, AD Stats could reverse engineer the search process. It detected search engines, key phrases, and keywords used to find the site. And get this, it recognized 115 of the most famous search engines at the time.
115 search engines. That truly is a historical snapshot, isn't it? We're talking about a world where Google was just one player among many alongside giants like Yahoo and the venerable AltaVista.
It captures that moment in time perfectly. And then we have the security and maintenance data. This was equally critical for system administrators. It tracked visits by 319 different automated robots or bots, helping admins separate human traffic from crawlers, which is crucial for accurate stats. And really importantly, it detected 5 families of worm attacks, giving you real-time, well, almost real-time, security warnings right from your logs. Plus, it reported all the HTTP errors, like the classic page not found, 404 errors. And for maintenance, this was great. It showed the last referrer for that bad link, so you could immediately go fix broad internal links or contact an external site that was sending traffic to a dead page on your site.
That's incredibly powerful diagnostics straight from the log file. And I love the final little quirk our sources mention here. It actually tracked the number of times the site was added to favorites bookmarks.
That's pure old school engagement data, isn't it? Extracted directly from the server transaction.
Yeah, it just shows the breadth of metadata that was actually available in those raw transactions if you had the right tool to pull it out. Okay, so we've established that AW Stats was powerful, it was free, and it was incredibly detailed for what was essentially a single config file Perl script. This obviously made it super popular with individual users, site owners. But what about the pros? Like web hosting providers managing hundreds, maybe thousands of sites. Mm-hmm. Did this simple tool scale up to meet those kinds of enterprise demands?
It absolutely did. The tool's flexibility really made it ideal for providers. Crucially, it supported multi-named websites, or what we usually call virtual servers or virtual hosts. This meant a hosting company could run just one instance of AW Stats and efficiently analyze the separate log files for dozens, even hundreds, of their clients. The output flexibility was also key for integration purposes. Reports could be generated dynamically via CGI, maybe on demand, or you could generate static HTML or XHTML pages, perfect for just dropping into a client's control panel or portal. Our sources even note that experimental PDF export was possible at some point.
And given that this tool was digging around in potentially sensitive server data, I assume security and maybe extensibility were thought about, built in.
Yes, definitely. Security was baked in. Notably, it included protection against cross-site scripting attacks, XSS attacks, that was important. And its extensibility was actually massive. It supported numerous options, filters, and plugins, things like reverse DNS lookup to turn IP addresses into host names. And for developers who wanted to manipulate the analysis data outside the tool itself, it offered the ability to store the results in XML format, which you could then process with XSLT or other tools. It truly provided both the raw insights and the tools to customize how you use them.
So we have this really foundational, highly capable free tool that was basically the backbone of web analytics for many years. But here's the inevitable question, the status update. What is the health of the AWS Stats project today? Where does it stand?
Right. And here is the critical status update for anyone still using it or considering it. AWS Stats is now essentially transitioning into a legacy phase. The original author, Laurent Destailleur, who interestingly is also the project leader of Dolly Bar ERP CRM, he's no longer developing new versions himself. Version 8.0, which was actually released back on August 26, 2025, is planned to be the last version released by the original author. So this means that future maintenance, any bug fixes, any new feature development, it's all going to rely entirely on the community stepping up. It's shifting toward that classic open source community support model now.
Okay, so for our listeners who really rely on this kind of powerful log-based analysis and maybe especially value data ownership, you know, the ability to keep their server data local under their own control, what's the recommended migration path now that the original development is wrapping up?
Well, the clearest and probably most recommended migration path, especially for those prioritizing open source principles and data control, is Matomo. Specifically, they should look at Matomo Log Analytics. This tool really maintains that core principle of analyzing raw server logs. It avoids client-side tracking tags, just like AWS Stats, and it offers a pretty smooth path for users looking to transition, potentially bringing their historical data and analysis methods over from AWS Stats.
Wow. Okay, we've covered a truly remarkable piece of internet infrastructure today. We explored how a, well, relatively simple single config file Perl script called AWS Stats managed to transform these cryptic server logs into clear graphical intelligence. It provided this just unparalleled detail for its time, tracking everything from, you know, five families of worm attacks to the specific browser capabilities that literally dictated early web design decisions, all while being free and open source.
And here is the final provocative thought we want to leave you with today.
AWS Stats proved years ago that you could extract incredible, really granular data about user behavior, their OS, their browser capabilities, their geography, all from the server-side log file. This required no third-party JavaScript, no cookies, no client-side tracking tags whatsoever. So if all that depth of data was sitting right there in the log file the whole time, what valuable metrics are we potentially missing today by relying so heavily, maybe solely, on JavaScript-based analytics? Analytics that are prone to ad blockers, network issues, and increasing privacy limitations.
It really makes you wonder how much visibility, maybe even control, we've handed over in the process. A fascinating question to ponder indeed. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive. We want to extend one final thanks to our sponsor, SafeServer, for supporting this exploration and for assisting with digital transformation. You can find out more at www.safeserver.de. Join us next time for another deep dive into what you need to know.